It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to KRFC 88.9 FM Fort Collins. Stay tuned for Community at Work. Good evening and welcome to Community at Work, a weekly program here on KRFC that provides a closer look at local organizations and public agencies that serve you. This half-hour show offers insights into the issues affecting our community and highlights some of the programs and services provided by local organizations, including those that host Community at Work each Thursday evening. The Health District is one of the rotating hosts for Community at Work, and the Health District is a public agency that provides residents of Northern Larimer County with dental, mental health, preventive health, and advanced care planning services, in addition to connecting people to more affordable health insurance and prescription options. We host Community at Work on the first Thursday of every month. I'm Richard Cox, the Communications Director for the Health District. Tonight we'll be talking with members of the Health District's research and evaluation team about some exciting new survey data they have on how our community is responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. We have with us on the Community at Work show this evening three representatives of the Health District's research and evaluation team who will be talking about one of their more recent survey efforts in the community. I'd like to welcome to the show Suman Mather. She is an evaluation and data analyst. Maria McPherson, she is a program evaluation specialist. And Shayla Davis, a public health associate with us currently through the Centers for Disease Disease Control and Prevention. Welcome to the Community at Work show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this is really exciting. For me, it's an opportunity to highlights something that many people may not be really familiar that the Health District does. So tell us about the purpose of your most recent survey that you conducted in the community.
Sure. So this is Maria, the program evaluation specialist, and I'll just give you a little rundown of what our survey was. So every 3 years, the research and evaluation team at the Health District conducts a community health survey to understand the health status and health needs of our community. And so we routinely conducted this triennial survey in the fall of 2019. And when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, our team decided to conduct a follow-up survey in the summer of 2020. And the intent here was to measure potential changes in our survey respondents' mental or physical health, their economic or their employment status, and some other indicators that might have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. So we also took this opportunity to pose questions about their exposure to the coronavirus, actions taken to mitigate risks, and interest in future vaccine, among many other topics related to the pandemic. And it's really important for organizations like the Health District to have a precise understanding about what people are experiencing as a result of this pandemic. And a subset of this is who is experiencing these things more severely than others. And this is in order to provide services that meet the timely needs of our community.
So whom did you survey, and when did you survey them?
Sure, yeah. So we surveyed about 2,500 households in Larimer County where an adult had completed the survey last fall, and we sent out this survey during the last week of July of 2020.
Was it mailed out or emailed out? How did you exactly conduct the survey?
Yeah, so we mailed paper survey invitations to these 2,500 households in Larimer County where the adult had completed the survey last fall. And so if the person completed the fall 2019 survey, if they did so online, they then received a letter instructing them to complete a passcode-secured online survey. If the person that completed the fall 2019 survey on paper, they received a printed survey and a postage-paid return envelope. And we sent some reminders here and there to those who hadn't responded yet. So in total, we got about 1,500 surveys were completed, and around 1,200 of those completed surveys could be matched to cases from the fall 2019 survey.
So you said you started beginning of July. When did you wrap up your data collection?
It was about in late August. I think the whole survey was open for about a month, but someone might be able to correct me on the exact timeline there.
Okay. Well, I think
I think that's correct. About July and August of 2020.
Were you surprised by any of the findings? And if so, what were they?
Sure. I can take that one. This is Simon again. Well, you know, I think one of the things that stood out to us immediately was just the profound amount of adults in our community who felt as though their lives had changed, at least slightly, due to the pandemic. So 99% of adults, so nearly every single one of us, said that their lives had changed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And similarly, about 93% of us were at least slightly concerned about the pandemic. So if you're feeling like things are a little crazy right now, know that you definitely aren't alone. And that we were able to kind of dig in and figure out some reasons for why we all were feeling this way in Larimer County. From our survey, we found that over half of non-retired adults, so about 54% of us who were not retired, reported a decrease in household income, which is quite significant when compared to their 2019 response. And between the community health survey that was conducted in the fall of 2019 and this COVID supplemental survey, we found that the proportion of adults who reported being either unemployed, furloughed, or laid off increased from 2% to 9%. So we were, you know, fortunately experiencing quite low levels of unemployment last fall. And unfortunately, we have started to see that tick back up quite a bit. But there was some good news in that survey, too. So at least in July and August, the time that this survey was being conducted, we found that people were reporting pretty high levels of COVID-19 prevention behaviors. So in our survey, 90% of adults said that they were washing their hands when returning home from being out. Similarly, about 89% of people said that they were practicing 6-foot distancing when around people not in their household. And 88% of adults said that they were often or always wearing a mask when around folks not in their household. So some encouraging news there. But we did find that only 55%, so a little over half of adults, said that they were avoiding visiting with family members who did not live with them. And just 69% had avoided having visitors in their home. So these are things that, you know, as we are going into the colder months and into the holidays, we definitely want to keep in mind those prevention guidelines regarding visiting with family members outside of our household. Hmm. And finally, go ahead.
No, it's very timely information, and it would be very interesting to see sort of a follow-up on that as people, you know, progress psychologically through the pandemic and, you know, especially with the holidays coming up, as you mentioned.
One other point that is also very timely is that we asked adults if they would be interested or willing to receive a safe and effective vaccine when available, and it seems as though that is becoming more and more likely each day. And our survey found that 66% of adults said that they would be willing to get a safe and effective vaccine when available. And, you know, I think that experts right now are saying that about 70% of our population needs to be vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine for it to really be effective at a population level. So we'll be watching that 66% number quite closely if we were to repeat the survey.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really very fascinating. Again, it's just great that you were able to collect this information. Was there anything that you expected to, you know, maybe have changed drastically but didn't?
Yeah, you know, there were a few things. One thing that we have really been interested in for a while now is mental health. So last fall when we did our survey, we found that 30% of adults reported that they currently had a mental health issue, such as depression or anxiety. And we really didn't see that change when we did this survey again this summer. But what we did see, interestingly enough, is that people reported sort of more severe experiences with poor mental health. So we asked folks to report the number of days in the past month in which they have had poor mental health and whether that poor mental health has sort of impacted their day-to-day abilities. And we did, in fact, see a significant increase in not only the number of days of poor mental health, but the number of days in which that was sort of impacting people's day-to-day activities. And another thing kind of related to mental health is that we also asked a separate question asking if people were experiencing pandemic-related anxiety, depression, or stress. And about 36% of adults were experiencing that type of sort of lower level anxiety, depression, or stress at least half the time over the past 3 months. So obviously not all of those people also reported that it rose to the level of a mental health issue. So we're starting to see some changes related to mental health, but it wasn't quite as severe or sort of quite as statistically significant as we thought it might be.
Well, that's good news.
It is. And, you know, something we want to keep an eye on. I think another sort of interesting piece that we are, as a health district, as an organization, especially interested in has to do with health insurance. And I mentioned earlier that we, you know, we saw some changes in employment, so we thought that we might see some changes in health insurance enrollment as well. And so far, we have seen, you know, some movement when it comes to the proportion of adults who get their health insurance through an employer, but it isn't entirely clear sort of where those folks ended up, whether they enrolled in Medicaid and if they are, you know, continuing to be uninsured. So that's another indicator that we certainly want to keep an eye on.
So definitely some warning signs there, but we're not critical. Fortunately, too, as we've discussed many times on this program, the health district does have services that help people both getting connected to mental health services if they are part of that segment that is feeling some pandemic-related anxiety, and help them get hooked up perhaps with affordable health insurance options, too. And information on all that can be found at healthdistrict.org. You mentioned mental health. Part of that same equation sometimes is substance use. Did you note any changes in people drinking more or using other substances to cope with a pandemic?
Yeah, so we actually had some kind of interesting findings here. So we had people sort of, we asked them just, you know, do they feel as though they are drinking more than they did prior to the pandemic? And about 30% of those who do drink alcohol said that they were drinking more than they had been prior to the pandemic. And we kind of looked a little closer at those folks, and it looks like, you know, they're drinking about one drink more overall. So not a huge jump, but, you know, again, something that we want to keep an eye on. But when we look at all residents, so people who are non-drinkers as well as drinkers, we weren't really seeing a major change at the population level. Those who would be categorized as heavy drinkers stayed the same. And we actually saw, interestingly enough, a drop in adults who report binge drinking in the past month, which might have something to do with, you know, bars having more limitations and closures and things like that.
Right. And you know, maybe fewer parties, too, where people might be encouraged to binge drink. Interesting. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Community at Work show on KRFC 88.9 FM Radio Fort Collins. I'm Richard Cox from the Health District of Northern Lamar County. And tonight we're talking about the pandemic, and we're also talking about research and how we are all coping with the pandemic here locally. We're talking with three representatives of the Health District's research and evaluation team, and that's kind of their role is to always be taking the pulse of the community and finding out how we're doing and, you know, where we might need some help. And we're speaking with Simon Mathers. She's evaluation and data specialist, Maria McPherson, a program evaluations specialist, and Shayla Davis, who's a public health associate with us from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. What kinds of challenges do you think local residents seem to be facing as a result of COVID-19 that you can tell from the survey?
Yeah, so, you know, I've already talked about some of the economic challenges our community is facing, and those are certainly profound. And we're starting to see that affect things like housing, where the proportion of adults who are often or always worried about paying for their rent or mortgage increasing threefold from prior to the pandemic. So last fall, 4% of adults said that they were often or always worried about paying for their housing, and that has unfortunately tripled to about 12%. And I think, you know, we can all agree that at a time right now when having good, stable housing is so crucial, it's important to recognize that there are many in our community that are worried that that won't be an option for them. And another thing on a lot of people's minds right now has to do with childcare and work.
Right.
So we asked folks how the closures and limitations of schools and childcare facilities has impacted their ability to work. And 37% of adults as of this summer said 37% of adults with kids who require childcare, so that they've had to at least slightly reduce their work already. And 70% of those adults were very concerned, or at least slightly concerned, about future closures impacting their ability to work.
Yeah, I just saw some survey information this morning, as a matter of fact, that nationally, it was over a million women that are out of the workforce right now currently because of online learning and that sort of thing that their kids are having to go through. Do you intend to follow up with this group in the future to see, you know, how people are progressing through the pandemic?
Yes. So this is Shayla. We definitely hope to collect more data at another point during the pandemic, or at least within the next couple of years. There are many logistics that need to be worked out first, but until then, stay tuned.
Yeah, that would be really fascinating to see how we come out the other end on this. So the COVID survey that you did recently was part of a earlier larger survey, and that's something you guys do on a regular basis. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, sure. This is Maria again here. So we do the survey, the community health survey, about every 3 years. And we did the original survey last fall, and we have lots of interesting information to share about that. It really provided us with a pretty good baseline of what life was like for adults in Larimer County before the pandemic hit. And we still think that data collected before the pandemic is very valuable data, because we do know this pandemic won't last forever. And we know some of the issues that we identified in that survey didn't just go away when the pandemic started, and we need to continue to work to address some of these concerns throughout the pandemic and after it is over.
And so how long have you been doing this survey? What kind of trend line can you follow with this?
Sure, yeah. So we've been doing it every 3 years since 1995 with, you know, some variations in questions, but generally the same idea.
So that will allow you to really track some trends over time, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not COVID-19 becomes an inflection point for some of these. So, you know, speaking of trends, now that you have been able to follow, you know, this population, our community, for a long period of time, have you spotted any trends, and are there any interesting or concerning health related trends that you've noticed recently in the most recent survey or over time?
Yeah, absolutely. We've noticed a lot of trends over the years. And actually, a full report of these interesting trends will be available online on our website soon. So definitely keep a lookout for that. But I'll go over a few here. And I'll start with some good trends. So we have seen a pretty significant decrease in tobacco users and cigarette users in our community. So in 2001, about 17% of Larimer County residents reported being current cigarette users, and this number is down to 9% in 2019, so that's great to see. And then also we've seen an increase in those reporting always wearing a seatbelt when riding in a car. So this was just at 70% in 2001, and that's up to 93% in 2019. So I'll move on to some concerning trends that we've seen. And like someone said earlier, we have been pretty interested in the mental health status of our community. And that's because we've really seen an increase in those who report having depression, anxiety, or any other mental health issue. So that number was looking at about 20% in 2001, and that's up to 30% in 2019. We've also seen, building on that mental health thing, is we've seen an increase in those who actually put off going to a mental health provider because of the cost in the past 2 years. And then finally, one more little concerning trend is we have seen an increase in respondents with a BMI that would categorize them as obese. So that was at 14% in 2001, up to 17% in 2019.
Some good news and some bad news. The smoking statistics are always really fascinating to me because it's been such a huge drop. Are you now tracking the use of vaping products?
We are. In the 2019 survey and the 2020 COVID supplement survey, we did include electronic cigarettes as well, but we just don't have anything to compare them to quite yet. We do know that the adults, I believe, was at around 5% of current adults who use electronic cigarettes, and close to about 90% of those who reported electronic cigarette use actually are using those to cut down on traditional tobacco. So there's some promising numbers there, but we do know that that epidemic is a little bit more focused on the youth and less so on adults, and we actually only survey those over the age of 18. But there is some interesting data out there about youth e-cigarette use in Colorado.
Okay, well, that'll be one of those stay tuned data points that we'll be looking at in coming years. Aside from the subjects we've already discussed in relation to COVID-19, what are some of the other things that you learned in the most recent community health survey?
Yeah, so this is Shayla again. We're really trying to look at our data through the lens of health equity. We know that not everyone in our community experiences things the same way, and we know that many health behaviors and outcomes are shaped by things like our families, our culture, our community, and even the policies and practices enacted by our present and past leaders. So, for example, when it comes to assessing and affording services, we found that people of color are both more likely to report having a dental issue like a toothache, but also are more likely to put off dental care due to cost. These are unmet needs that places like the health district can strive to meet in order to make sure everyone in our community has a fair chance of being their healthiest self.
All right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Community at Work show on KRSC 88.9 FM Radio Fort Collins. I'm Richard Cox, from the Communications Director for the Health District of Northern Larimer County. And tonight we've been talking about how we shape up as a community and how we are weathering this current pandemic. And to do that, we're talking with three representatives of the Health District's Research and Evaluation Team, which uses best practices research tools to regularly assess the health of the community and the access community members have to necessary services. Speaking of surveys, we just came through an intense period of public polling around the election, obviously, that possibly turned off some people to sharing details about themselves to strangers. And we hear a lot about polling fatigue and that sort of thing. Has it gotten more difficult for health researchers such as yourself to get people to participate in these types of very valuable surveys?
Yeah, this is Simon again, and that's a great question. I certainly am one of those people who refreshes 538 and other sites that talk about polling and surveys quite a bit. And there are a number of parallels between political polls and surveys like ours, but there also are some important differences. But I guess the short answer is that, yes, it definitely has become harder to get people to participate in surveys. Even since we started doing our survey in 1995, we've seen that people have become less and less likely to complete our survey. Our community health survey in 2019 had a response rate of about 25%, which is pretty close to the industry standard right now for this type of a survey. Some good news is that over half of those folks also participated in our follow-up this year. So we know that the people who did take our survey were quite invested and quite willing to, complete another one after that. So I guess one of the challenges that we're experiencing is that, we can be okay with our response rates declining a little bit, but what we get worried about is how representative the population of people who are taking our survey is of the actual population. So we want to make sure that the people taking our survey aren't just people like me and Maria and Shayla who are super enthusiastic. We want to make sure that it really is a good representation of adults in Larimer County. And that's one of the issues that a lot of these political polls have struggled with, too. But one major difference from our survey from political polls is that we conduct our survey via the good old-fashioned mail, which might seem a little old-fashioned, but it's actually much more can be much more representative than political polls, which often occur over the phone and within a time span of a few hours. You heard earlier that we take months to collect our data, and we really make sure that people are reached and that we do everything we can to get a response from them. And, I don't know about you, but I rarely answer phone calls from unknown numbers anymore, but I do check my mail pretty regularly. So we do things like that kind of help us make sure that we're getting a more representative sample.
What are some other strategies you might be employing?
Yeah, so we do what we can to make sure that our survey is as clear and accessible as possible up front. So we tell people why it's important. We offer all of our materials in English and Spanish. And we give people the opportunity to complete the survey by pen and paper or online, which kind of helps us reach different audiences. We also are able to, we've been doing this for a while now, so we know that there are certain parts of our community where people are a little less likely to fill out a survey, and so we invite more of those folks to do it in the first place. And And really, this kind of upfront method is really to build trust in us as an organization and us as survey reviewers, and to really get people more likely to take the survey to begin with. And then once we have all the data, we're able to do some statistical adjustments called weighting to make sure that we have accurate CRAT counts of different types of people in our survey. So, for example, if you're a young guy, 18 to 30 years old, you filled out a survey, you're kind of a precious gem to us, and we actually count or weight your response a bit more than others in order to make up for people who didn't complete the survey but are in your same demographic.
Interesting. Okay, if you had the chance now to help people understand how you go about doing your work or to clear up any misconceptions people might have about surveys, what would you say?
So I think a lot of people don't fill out our surveys because they really don't think that it's worth their time, and they don't think the information they provide will be useful. And I'm just here to assure you that this information is extremely useful for us. We use this information to understand where the service gaps are in our community, and then we use it to try to fill those gaps. So without these surveys, we could not identify the most pressing need in our community. Some other concerns have to do with privacy, and we give each individual survey respondent a unique code. We cannot, we will not, and we honestly have no need to trace the code back to the particular individual because we are interested in population-level data, not so much the individual level. And then finally, another common concern is the accuracy of our survey data, and we know that these surveys are not perfect, but we think we do a pretty good job. We actually partner with the Statistics Lab over at CSU to make sure that our survey design is reliable and that the data collected is valid and painting an accurate picture of actually what's going on in our community. Additionally, we don't solely get our data from these quantitative surveys. We also gather qualitative data by doing discussion groups to hear from people in other ways, and this creates just a rich collection of different types of data. And we know that this data is not the end-all, be-all, but we think it's a pretty good starting point for understanding what is happening in our community. And if you are interested in understanding what is happening in our community, we will be releasing reports on our website at healthdistrict.org. You can also contact our team directly by emailing us at survey@healthdistrict.org, and we'll direct your question to the correct person. And we're definitely happy to work with you and to make sure you get the information you need to improve the health in our community. So keep a lookout for our reports coming on the website or email us if you have any questions about it.
Great. Thanks a lot, all of you, for coming on the show this evening. We'll be paying attention to your future data drops. And if anybody out there gets contacted by anybody from this research team, please, you know, we encourage you to take a minute and answer their questions because it helps us all understand what our community needs in terms of healthcare. Thanks a lot for coming on the show this evening.
Thank you.
That's about all the time we have for tonight. Please tune in next week when Danielle LaRue will be hosting Community at Work. Coming up next on KRFC's Critter Patter, thanks for listening. We wish you the best of health, and we'll meet you back here next month.